Welcome to the Old School Meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, which features speakers with long-term abstinence. This meeting was born online, and it's going to stay that way. That means you can attend live on Tuesday evenings at 6:30 Pacific if you'd like to. Go to the Los Angeles Intergroup's webpage at oalaig.org for login information. And now, our speaker.
I'm Sharon B., a very grateful, compulsive person, compulsive eater. Anorexic, laxative bulimic, body obsessor, exercise bulimic, restrictor, orthorexic, that I just learned about a couple of years ago. And I had to fill out something because we're recording this, and I really had to check off all the boxes. And those, you know, it's amazing to find out what this program is and how powerful it is. And I believe I came out of the womb as a compulsive eater. I believe my mom was a compulsive eater, but also suffered from depression and maybe some other undiagnosed things. I just want to make sure I have everything that was asked of me here. And it started out, my mom had a nervous breakdown when I was 3, and I thought I caused it. So that made for a rough start in the family. My brother was 12 years older than I was. He was my first binge buddy. I always enjoyed eating. I was one of those little babies that would crawl around in the yard, and my mom said I ate cigarette butts and caterpillars, or, you know, everything. I wanted to taste life. And I was good at that. My dad had me tasting everything. He was very robust in his joy for that, but he never had a weight problem at all. Neither did my brother. But I began as, I guess we lived on the west side of LA, until I was 10 years old, and then moved to the San Fernando Valley. And I actually met my next binge buddy, who was a neighbor that was a few doors down. And for you guys that, I've been around this world. I've been on this planet a long time, 73 years. I can barely believe it. But when I moved to the Valley, my friend Susie and I mean, we used to just, she was also a compulsive eater. And we would watch The Real McCoys and I Love Lucy in the morning on the weekends. And we'd be polishing off. Are we allowed to talk about food in this meeting? Is that okay? It's like my friend and I, we would polish off a loaf of cinnamon raisin bread and butter and just do that, then go to my house and go swimming and then go back to hers and make tuna sandwiches. I mean, it was on and on with all the meals. And then at about 11 years old, my dad noticed I was putting on a few pounds and suggested that, you know, he said, "Sharon, you're getting fat." And I don't know how many pounds it was. It wasn't that many, but he noticed. He noticed everything. And we went and saw my doctor, our family doctor, and the doctor said, "Oh, we'll just give her a little thyroid. That should help her to not, you know, be so hungry," I guess. But that was my first introduction to diet pills. Because that little extra bit of thyroid pill pumped me up a bit. And so my friend and I that were binge buddies together, by the time I was 12 or 13, we started every diet you can possibly imagine. And that went on for a while. I had too much shame to gain too much weight. So it would be that binging, gaining some weight, and then dieting like a crazy person to look good. And then in school, I hated school, but I rushed myself through school. When I was young, I ended up in a private school when my mom had her nervous breakdown, and I started early. So they wanted to skip me even in first grade. But anyway, I was graduated, or my graduating class in high school, I was only 16 years old. You know, I was 17 when I did finally graduate that year. But I was 16 and I wanted to go on work experience so that I could get out of school even earlier. And I went and looked for a job with a friend of mine. There was openings at Kentucky Fried Chicken in Orlando Valley, and I went with my friend. We went there, and the girl behind the counter, or woman behind the counter, who was, I didn't know, only 2 years older than me, but she seemed very mature. Anyway, we gave her our filled out applications. My friend got a call from the owner to come in for an interview. My friend told me she did get called, but her mom wouldn't let her get the job. And I wondered why I didn't get a phone call. And so I called Kentucky Fried Chicken and said, my friend came in for an interview. Fill out applications and get an interview. And she was called and I wasn't. She looked for my name and said, I don't have your application here. And said, if you'd like to come in and fill one out, I'll interview you today. And so I went right in. I got the job immediately. She asked me if I'd like to start the next day, and I was thrilled. And the girl that was behind the counter wasn't there the day I got hired, but the next day I came in my little ponytail and my uniform, and I walked in the back door, and she looked at me and said, what are you doing here? And I said, I work here. And so that started another major phase in my life of meeting my next binge buddy, who I don't want to dwell on things too much. So I'll just go to say that binge buddy and I are still together. We've been together for like 55 years. And so we learned a lot together. We did a lot of good eating and a lot of good dieting, or bad dieting. I didn't mention as a child, the bulimic thing, I never liked throwing up. I wouldn't even hardly allow it unless it was my body took over, but I never wanted to do that. But laxatives, enemas, water pills, diet pills started very young, and getting into a human chorionic gonadotropin shots that, you know, and then you could only eat like maybe 1,000 calories or something like that a day. Maybe it was less than that. 500. I'm getting cued by that other binge buddy of mine. Anyway, it was like, you know, you lose the weight anyway, and it was very expensive. And, you know, there were just so many things, the street drugs and the diet pills, all the craziness. And we ended up, actually, I didn't even mention that at Kentucky Fried Chicken, I was like in my graduating class, and the other person that worked there that tried to get rid of me blurted out one day and said, you know, would someone like to move out? She was, I think at that time, 18 years old and already married and divorced, or it was annulled or whatever. And I said, I do. I want to move out. And she's like, all right, you know, and we ended up doing that. And that's how that all came together. But we moved out in 1967, November 11th, 11/11/67, and embarked on all kinds of things. Worked different jobs, different stuff. I won't go into that. But by the time the 70s happened, my partner was looking into OA meetings, and I wanted just to be with her. So I'd go to the meetings in the 70s with her, but I never really committed to it. I always thought, I enjoyed the people, I enjoyed the experience, but I didn't think it was for me. I didn't think I needed it. I thought I could do everything on my own.
Sorry, that's your second five.
It's my second five. Okay, so 10 minutes so far. So I finally, actually the first Sunday in January 6th and that year. And I realized I heard somebody in the meeting I was in that I wanted what this person has. And I decided, this person was a 100-pounder, and then she wasn't, then she looked like a regular, beautiful, healthy, just brilliant person. And I just thought, okay, I want this. I do want this, because I'm sick of all the dieting, and then the binging, the purging, the whole thing of it was crazy. And it's always been, it's something where I thought I was in control. I always believed in God. I had God in my life. I was born into a family that was Sephardic Jewish, but my mom went into Christian Science, and it was kind of a battle in the family, but I took what I wanted and left the rest. And so I knew God was around. I knew God was good. I knew God was taking care of things for all of us. But I didn't learn right away to rely on God. Years went by, and I wanted to be a star in this program. There were times where we ended up buying a coffee house in 1990, and that was for a 15-year run. So wasn't doing much meetings then, though we did. We were into another program called part of it, the HAL program, and that for me was too much of a diet. So and as my partner says, I want to be on a live it, not a diet, and that. That sounds pretty darn good. So I didn't always have a physical sponsor. There were times through the years that God was my sponsor. There was somebody, an old timer that used to talk about, it's like I can eat anything I want, whenever I want, anytime I want, as long as I'm willing to pay the price. And I liked that. And God was his sponsor. But it came that clear to me that having a real true sponsor was important. And I've, done the steps and all the work, the tools, all the things. I've had mostly, I've had sponsees all through it. And it's just been, this has been such a growing thing for me, because when it became that it wasn't all about the food, I actually had a breakdown when I became anorexic in the program at one point. And then I also went so far, that's what the orthorexic kind of thing is, like when you want to be too healthy, you want to do the right stuff, you want to eliminate anything that's not good. And what happened was we had things going on in our lives that were very difficult. And I started, eating less and less and sleeping less and less. And I ended up blowing my circuits and getting on a 72-hour hold one time. And they thought I was bipolar, but thank you, God. I was later on when all my chemistries came back into fold and I got the shock of my life and I got to learn more about myself. I really, really got close to God. And more and more, I mean, for me, the things that I do, I'm really trying to stay in a balanced meal plan for me. My abstinence is not rigid like it used to be. I used to be extremely rigid, and now I want to have my abstinence be more of a wearing it like a loose garment, as they say, to be able to talk to God, to be able to turn over everything to God. And I guess I'm also a bit OCD, so that's part of this addiction thing that happens. And so I have to stay really close to God and balance. And I try so what I'm, you know, where I'm at now is really giving my life to God every single day, trying to let things be exactly as they are, to be able to, you know, eat healthy, to sleep well, to call my sponsor, do my assignments, daily assignments with my sponsor. I lost a sponsee recently that was really painful. She passed away at 50 years old. It was just shocking. There was that part of me that felt like I couldn't save her, you know, but this is just God's way. I mean, it's just a very interesting thing to keep forgiving and not beating myself up and trusting that what is happening each day is right action is taking place in my affairs. And then I say, you know, each day I have prayers that I do. I get on my knees. I talk to God during the day. I take my dog for walks. I am thrilled now that COVID is, you know, kind of lightening up in the world, that I'm doing my music again. And my program is so important. My conscious contact with God has to be strong, and I have to keep forgiving myself if mistakes are made. And I'm trying so hard to not be such a perfectionist. I've gotten better at it. I'm learning to take it easy, to be able to, I don't know, to say yes to a meeting on the 4th of July out of the blue, and then get a little scared before it was time for me to come and let you guys know what I was going to say. And I need to not judge myself. I need to trust that hopefully someone's going to get something out of this, and that, you know, maybe something will help someone else to just get, you know, be a part of this wonderful fellowship. I mean, this OA fellowship, or I know for all the different 12-step programs, it's family. You never have to leave if you don't want to. We never have to be alone in our lives making outreach calls or receiving outreach calls. I mean, there's so many. I have a posse of people that, you know, surround me, and there's people in my family I check in on. And I try to be actually God's, you know, like just perfect, you know, a child of God. That's what I am. And I know God is love. And so I want to stay in love, run my life in acceptance and gratitude. And
that's time. Sorry.
Is there 1 minute left or no?
No, that's time.
Well, that's wonderful. Okay. So all I want to say is I am so grateful to be here. Happy 4th of July to everyone. And I look forward to hearing what everybody else has to say. Thank you.